I have told you before, some of the happiest times of my early life were spent in 2 years of mission work in Cameroon, West Africa, with my parents when I was 12 and 13 years old. I picked this graphic to go with this lesson, especially because it reminded me of some of the scenes that I recall from my memory of the Land Rover running down the dusty road out in the bush on the way to a village to preach or to teach or something like that. The title of our lesson is My Mission. We could very well have called it My Ministry, My Calling. Those are the things that Paul addresses here in this particular section or paragraph of Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be studying from verses 24 through 29. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to that passage, and we're going to be reading it in just a minute. The word mission doesn't occur in the King James translation of the New Testament. It occurs one time in the New American Standard Version, from which I like to study. It refers to Acts chapter 12, verse 25, when it says that when Paul and Barnabas had fulfilled their ministry, King James Version, the English Standard Version, or New American Standard, says when they had fulfilled their mission, referring to the missionary journey upon which they were. The word ministry, though, is a word that we find often in the New Testament, and it's one of those words that I think we've mischaracterized because we think it only applies to preachers. Only preachers have anything to do with ministry. And yet, if you study the New Testament carefully, you'll come away with the conclusion that ministry is for Christians. Christians minister. Preachers preach, but Christians minister in all different kinds of ways. And so we could describe our mission here on this earth as Christians as being our ministry. We could refer to it as our calling. The word calling is another one of those words. It occurs a dozen or so times in the New Testament, King James Version. It's a word that's not always readily understood. Many times it means literally what we think it would mean, an invitation, and sometimes an insistent invitation. You remember Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, that we should walk worthy of the calling with which we've been called. King James Version says the vocation wherewith we've been called. Calling is our work, as you might conclude from that use of the word vocation. Our work that we do for the Lord. And so what we want to talk about tonight, based on these few verses from Colossians chapter 1, is the task at hand before us as God's children to accomplish the things that God wants us to do in keeping with some of those things that we studied this morning about the importance of Christ from the verses preceding this. If you're there in your Bibles in Colossians chapter 1, let's notice and read verses 24 through 29, and then we'll look at about 4 points that I want to share with you from that text. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery, hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this ministry, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Let's begin there at verse 24 and let's notice what Paul says about my afflictions for the sake of his body. That's part of the task that we have, to sacrifice and even on occasion to suffer for the sake of the body of Christ. You'll remember in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James makes reference to the crazy idea of count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various kinds of trials. The very idea that we have to, or that we should rejoice or count it joyful when we suffer, when we experience difficulties, when we run up against things that get in our way, when we have problems and troubles that turn us astray or try to turn us astray, James says the best way to handle that is rejoice. Rejoice, because you know that as you work your way through that difficulty, it makes you stronger. And Paul says here, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. Now don't be misled by that word afflictions, nor by the term lacking. It's not to say that Jesus is insufficient. It's not to say that there is something missing from Jesus. What Paul is literally saying is, I'm trying my best to take up where Jesus left off. And that's our responsibility. You see, this matter of afflictions is something that kind of makes us a little bit nervous. Afflictions and sacrifice and suffering. We've often said that we are not called upon to suffer very often, at least in this country, in this culture in which we live, for the sake of the gospel. And we ought to give thanks to God every day for that fact. We are aware, though, of people in places throughout this world who do suffer because of the fact that they are trying to live obedient Christian lives. Are we to conclude that we never have to sacrifice? I think it's wrong to say that you and I have it so easy that we don't even ever have to sacrifice, because perhaps that's a misunderstanding of what service is all about. There can be no service without sacrifice, and sacrifice doesn't necessarily have to be something that leads us suffering and bleeding. In a sense, pretty much everything that we do for the sake of the Lord involves some sacrifice. It involves making a decision to serve the Lord or to serve self. And if we push self aside and serve the Lord, then we've sacrificed self, in a manner of speaking. That's why it's important for us to understand that sacrifice doesn't always have to be something that leaves us beaten and bloody. We all sacrifice if we are God's servants. Jesus began the work by redeeming us, and we continue the work by serving Him and sacrificing in the process. Whether it's the matter of sacrificing our time to attend and support things like vacation Bible schools and gospel meetings and area-wide singings and so forth, or whether we're talking about reaching down a little further and digging a little deeper sometimes to help special things that come up and arise and need some either financial or physical support. Any of those things are things that are sacrifice. Paul says one of the wonderful things about this special calling that we all have is that we're given the opportunity to serve. And serving is only serving if it involves sacrifice. Notice in the second place what he says in verse 25. This body, the Lord's body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. I hope you were listening in Terry's prayer a few minutes ago. He made reference to the fact that we are all responsible for evangelism from the standpoint of living our lives so that people see Jesus living in us. And perhaps that will spark a desire on their part to know more about God and about Jesus. Again, this whole idea that only gospel preachers are responsible for evangelism, the only people that really carry the load so far as making the Word of God fully known are those preachers or paid evangelists, is a misconception to say the least. Because you and I, as God's servants, God's ministers, part of our mission is to make the Word of God fully known. Now, obviously, there's only one way we can make it fully known, and that is if we know it ourselves. The more we know, the better we're able to make it known to others. You'll notice the interesting use of the word stewardship here in verse 25. King James Version renders it dispensation. It literally refers to an assigned plan or a special work. And insofar as God is concerned, the special work and the assigned plan or the part of the plan that's assigned to every one of us is to make the Word of God fully known to all of those around us. It's everybody's job. Paul goes on to make reference to the mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, but now is revealed to his saints in verse 26. That literally is the definition of the word mystery in the New Testament. Not something that is forever secret that we'll all wonder about, but something usually that was at a time hidden and now has been revealed or has been made known. And he says in verse 27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this ministry, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you and me. Yes, in every one of us. Then notice in the third place, verse 28, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Helping others grow. That's our responsibility. It's in this very letter that he wrote to the church at Colossae, reminding them of their responsibility of teaching and admonishing one another with the songs that they sing. We speak of the encouragement that we give one another when we attend worship services together, when we support the efforts of the local congregation and the encouragement and the edification that results of that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, where Paul describes the church as a building fitly framed together and held together by that which every part or every member supplies, he concludes that statement by making reference to the fact that the body builds itself up in love. The building up of itself in love. In other words, we don't sit back and wait on some kind of outside source to come and build us up. That's our job, to build one another up, to encourage one another, strengthen one another, and help one another to grow and reach maturity. And here's how we do it, Paul says. Proclaiming, and sometimes warning and teaching with all wisdom. If you're in the habit of marking in your Bibles, I would urge you to mark down Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, right there next to verse 28. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We'll not look at it now, but later when you have time, turn over there and read that section of the second chapter of Proverbs where Solomon gives us God's prescription for obtaining wisdom. It's the long form of where James tells us to pray and that God will bless us with wisdom. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 2 gives us all of the details. And in those several verses, he breaks it down in two or three ways, telling us what we need to do, telling us what God will do as a result of what we do in trying to obtain wisdom. It's a good reference to have there, where Paul says we're teaching everyone with all wisdom. And then finally, verse 29. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Paul says, this is hard work. I'm sure being a minister of the gospel of Christ was especially hard in the first century. By comparison today, I think we've got it kind of easy. And perhaps a lot of that is a result of our own doing or our own not doing. But being a Christian is hard work. It's toil and struggle. And we may rest assured that the success that we meet with is due because or to the fact that the Lord helps us with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. As we conclude this evening, I want to back up to verses 21 through 23. It's a little paragraph that we skipped today. We worked down to verse 20 this morning, and we took up at 24 tonight. I think 21 through 23 is a good summation for this study this evening. He says, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." Brother Burton Kaufman, in his commentary on this passage, says that God has written that chilling word, "if," over against every name inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's an interesting way to put the fact, the reminder again, that what we accomplish for eternity depends upon our faithfulness. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. How well are we doing at holding up our part of the mission? The ministry, our calling, whatever we want to refer to it as. The work is hard, the rewards are great. Faithfulness is essential. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.